Friends, for the next few weeks, we're going to be taking some lessons from the Olympics and looking forward to seeing what God is going to teach us through these worldwide events. And I'm wondering, last week, did anyone know this name? Penny Oleksiuk. Anybody ever heard of Penny last week? Anybody heard of her this week? Okay. Penny, next slide please, is a 16-year-old high school student in Toronto, Ontario. She loves donuts. She loves the Toronto Raptors, and she's really dying to get some tickets to a Drake concert this fall. Those are kind of the things that she lives for. She's also happens to be quite a good swimmer, apparently, because this week she set a record for a Canadian athlete in the Summer Games. She picked up 4 medals this week, 2 bronze, a silver, and a gold. Man, can she ever swim? Well, let me tell you what's so remarkable about that race. Penny started out, and at the halfway mark, she was out of 8 swimmers, she was in 7th place. So that's about, across Portage Avenue, you see if I can see out the back doors, about the CBC building, about 50 yards away. So she was in 7th place, she had to make up that time in just about a few seconds, probably about 25 seconds approximately. And it's interesting, listening to her in the videos, in her interviews afterwards, now she loves donuts. Was she thinking about donuts at that time? No. She loves the Toronto Raptors. Was she thinking about the Toronto Raptors at that time? No. She's obsessed with getting tickets to the Drake concert. Was she thinking about Drake? No. She said, I knew I was behind. I could see everybody else in front of me. I was thinking of nothing but swimming and just going for it. And in fact, even in the last 15 meters, she was passing people to touch and finish first. It's an amazing, amazing accomplishment. And what I love about this story, I guess I love underdog come from behind stories. The fact that she was in 7th place and had to pass 5 swimmers and tie the 6th for gold is an amazing story. And why? Because Penny had focus. She was focusing. She wasn't thinking about donuts or the Raptors or Drake or anything else. She was focusing on just going as hard as she could for that time. And that's what she had to do in all of her training. She almost didn't make the Canadian Olympic team this spring. Made just by this much, barely made it, and was expecting to go to the Olympics and just go for the experience. And maybe in 2020, she'll do really come into her stride. But now she's got 4 Olympic medals. Why? Because she focused. That's one of the things I want us to talk about this morning, is us following Jesus and being in this race that we talked about in the scripture reading, Hebrews 11, this race that we're running. We're not competitive swimmers, most of us. I'm just making a generalization. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But we are in a race, the most important race of our lives. And we need to focus on what the end result of that race is. First of all, we need to be really clear on the goal. What are we trying to accomplish? This morning, we're going to go through a scripture from Philippians chapter 3 that the Apostle Paul is giving kind of an autobiographical sketch of what really makes him tick. Now, he had a tremendous list of accomplishments, this guy Paul. He was tremendously accomplished. He was, like, if you had kind of like a spiritual Olympics, he would be the Michael Phelps. Phelps has got, what, 26 gold medals or something? Someone help me with the trivia. He's got a closet full of them, 28. Okay, gee, who's counting after you hit 20? You know, anyway, he's got a bucket load of gold medals. The Apostle Paul was like that because he had this amazing pedigree. If he wanted to impress religious people, He said, man, I was the top dog, the top Pharisee. I kept all the rules. I was so good. I was so accomplished. He was very bright. Some scholars consider he had the equivalent of two PhDs. He was so brilliant and learned and just plain smart. But that didn't do him a lick of good in his relationship with God. And he says, literally, all those accomplishments, all those trophies, so to speak, in my spiritual trophy case, they're like garbage. They're like stuff you don't want to step on when you go in the park, because I don't want to have anything to do with that compared to knowing Jesus. And this is where we pick up the story. I gave up all that inferior stuff, all his spiritual gold medals, so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. That was Paul's goal. He wanted to know Jesus personally on a first-name basis. He didn't want an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. Many North American Christians settle for an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. Now, God give us brains so the wind doesn't whistle through our ears, so we can use it and make good choices in life. But it's knowing Jesus is not just about an intellectual knowledge. If you go to marry someone, you can go down the checklist, you know, of say, okay, this person's a good candidate to marry. Yeah, sure. And just kind of make it a business transaction. That's not really what it's all about, is it? And hopefully you're emotionally engaged with this person. And so there's the reason there's some feelings, some chemistry there. That's really helpful. But ultimately, you have to make the choice. You have to say, I do. I'm all in. This is my mate for life, right? And then every day you have to keep saying that. I'm still all in. I keep going on. So Paul, it's not just an intellectual choice we make when we commit to someone for life. And for Paul, following Jesus was an emotional, spiritual, intellectual decision of the choice of the will. So he was all in. That was his goal. I just want to know Jesus. I just want to experience Jesus. I want to be with him. Now, there's some things that go along with following Jesus. I want to experience his resurrection power. Yeah, let's go, baby. That's the power. I mean, how did dead people come out of the coffin? I mean, come on. Seriously? That's what happened to Jesus, right? And he could do that with other people. That kind of power sounds great. It's really exciting. I want to be a partner in his suffering. Let's go back and talk about the resurrection power, can we? You know, no, but seriously, if you're going to follow Jesus, that means there's going to be hard times. It just comes because there's a spiritual opposition that we encounter in life. It's just the way it is. Christians don't stick a kick me sticker on the back and say, oh, look, I'd love to be a target for your persecution. It just comes as a result of trying to do the right thing and follow Jesus. So, following his suffering. And I want to go all the way with him to death itself so I can get in on this resurrection from the dead. So that was Paul's goal, okay? I just want to know and experience Jesus. And then Paul says, well, here's my motivation. This is why I'm pressing into that goal. Penny loves swimming. She tried gymnastics, but she had a growth spurt, and now she's 6'1", a little bit on the tall side for a gymnast. So she got into swimming, and her family's a very athletic family. Her brother plays in the NHL, and her parents were athletes, and her sister's a college athlete, so it kind of runs in the family. That's her motivation for getting into athletics. But Paul's motivation for following Jesus is really important. It's fairly simple, but it's very, very profound. He's saying, look, this following Jesus stuff, I'm not saying I've got it all together. I'm not saying I've got it made, but I am well on my way. I'm reaching out for Christ. Just like Penny, you, in the swimmer, the first one to touch the pad wins, right? I'm reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me, Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. So I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Why is Paul reaching out for Jesus? Because Jesus reached out for him first. You get it? Jesus reached out for him first when Paul was lost, so wrapped up in religion and bitterness and hatred and enmity and feeling like he had to outperform his religious colleagues to earn his way into God's good graces. What a bankrupt way of looking, of living. Looked good on the outside, but he was like a dead, stinking tomb on the inside. And he knew it. God broke in his life like a ton of bricks. Jesus reached out to him, and now Paul is reaching back. And for those of us who know what it's like to have Jesus reach out to us, we reach back, right? It doesn't get any more profound than that. There's other reasons for following Jesus. Other people say, well, it's a good moral life to live, and I want to be respectable, and I want to make good choices. Well, okay. Good on you. All I could say is good luck with that. It's not going to keep you going, and it's not really something to base your life on. Other people will say, well, you know, my parents brought me up to go to church, so I should go to church too. I want to be respectable and fit in with the family and not, you know, experience a lot of pressure. And I just go because it's just kind of the thing to do. Well, what do you say? Good luck with that? I don't know. Friends, the only motivation I think that's really going to keep us pressing onto the goal of finding Jesus is a life filled with gratitude of someone who's had their life saved and transformed by Jesus. We reach out to Jesus because he reached out to us first, right? Right? Now you're saying, Rick, this is so simple, it's boring. Well, I know I'm not the most stimulating speaker in the world, and I joke a lot about having an FM voice and putting people to sleep. But let me tell you something. If you don't get turned on by Jesus reaching out to you so that you reach out to him, you are totally missing the bus. And you are totally wasting your time here this morning. It's okay, guys. I'm not angry. I'm just excited, okay? You should hear me at hockey games. But do you understand, friends? Wake up and smell the coffee for the sake of Christ and for the sake of yourselves. If we're not reaching out to Jesus because he first reached out to us, then something's amiss, and I don't think it's Jesus. We're probably focused on the wrong goal. It might be a really good thing, but you've heard that the good is the enemy of the best, right? Being a Christian is all about life with Jesus, not living for him or from him or any of those other things, but living with him. And that's what obsessed Paul. He says, man, I've got my eyes on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Nah, nothing's going to make me turn around. I'm all in following Jesus. Paul can't do this alone. We talked about his goal, his motivation. Jesus loved him first. He says, let's talk a little bit about Paul's community. So let's, I don't know if you realize it, it's a, what's the word, a contraction? It means literally let us. So he's talking to a group of people. He's talking to a community. So let us. Keep focused on that goal. This is Paul's community. Those of us who want everything God has for us. How many people here? Now, I'm looking for a show of hands here. Okay, so I got to warn you. Sometimes I ask rhetorical questions and saying, how many people feel like this? And I don't really want to make you hold up your hand and embarrass yourself. Today, I want you to hold up your hand. But think about it. Think about it carefully first, okay? How many people here want everything God has for you? Think about it. Don't put up your hand just yet. Count the cost, okay? Because there's a cost. How many of us want everything that God has for us? Okay. Now, I don't want to pressure, you know, holding up your hand. I just realized I'm getting too excited. Oh, man, a passionate preacher, watch out. But I want you to think about this. I want us to think about this, friends. Do we really want everything that God has for us? Or are we content with just kind of meandering through life? It's easy to meander through life because there's so many distractions and so many things to pull us off course, right? But Penny was not thinking about donuts or the Toronto Raptors or about Drake tickets while she was winning that gold medal, okay? Now, there are other things in life that we can enjoy and perfectly good, and they're actually gifts from God, but other things can get in our way of the goal of really knowing and experiencing Jesus, right? And all those other things will just pull us away from what God really has. So Paul is saying to his friends, to his community, he's not running solo race, he's running together. He says, so let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. Just imagine. Close your eyes and imagine for a minute, okay? Let's do an experiment. Close your eyes for a minute. Let's think about everything that God wants for us. Now, some preachers will talk about a new car and a new house and all that. That's garbage, okay? Don't listen to anybody who talks like that because that's a lie. But what God offers us is forgiveness from our sins, deliverance from shame, freedom from all the junk that drags us down and messes up our lives. He wants us to be whole. He doesn't always promise physical health. Sometimes he heals, sometimes he doesn't. That's his call because he's God. But we can always go to him with our concerns. He will walk with us through life no matter what. Now, are you all in? Do you want that? That's what God has for us. The best part about this, I think, is that he's not calling us to walk it alone, but he's calling us to walk it together as a spiritual family. The beautiful dog's breakfast that is called Elam's Chapel is what God is calling us together to walk with Jesus. And our diversity demonstrates that the gospel's for anybody and everybody. That's what I believe. And we need to stay committed to loving each other, praying each other, supporting for each other as we run this race. Paul says, look, now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. All right? This is Paul's ultimate goal. Stick with me. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. First day of the Olympics, there was a preliminary heat in the rowing venue, and it was a really windy day, and unfortunately, some rowers were getting blown all over the course. A Canadian rower, I can't remember who her name right now, she won the heat. She went straight as a line to the goal. But there's this other young lady from another country, I can't remember where, it wasn't a traditional rowing nation. She ended up going sideways across all these rowing lanes and causing a bit of a traffic jam. She just totally got blown off course. It's easy for us to end up like that. It's easy for us to get lost and distracted and blown off course if we're not running together, if we're not being intentional, if we're not staying on track. That's why Paul says, stick with me, friends, and keep track of those who are running the same race and headed for the same goal. Because there's lots of distractions and detours, and it's easy to get lost. And there will actually be other people enticing us and saying, hey, why don't you come and do this with me? And you know it's going to steer you in a wrong direction. And you're going, nope, I'm going straight to Jesus. I'm staying on track. That's what Paul's saying. Stick with me, friends. All these people want, who are trying to lead you into distraction, all they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. So these kind of people are the people we need to avoid, because they're not intent on running a race and knowing Jesus. They're just living for themselves. Here's Paul's ultimate goal. There's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. That's our ultimate goal. Did you know the Christian's ultimate goal is not heaven? What? Now I've got your attention. What do you mean? Our ultimate goal in life is not heaven? I mean, even old dogs go to heaven. Don't tell the kids, you know. That's what Walt Disney says. You know, it's this beautiful place that somehow everybody, maybe, hopefully, cross your fingers, ends up in. Maybe, I don't know. But that's not our ultimate goal. Heaven's going to be great. Why? Because Jesus will be there. That's why. That's our ultimate goal, is to be with him. And we can be with him now. We can know him now and start getting to know him right now and experience the peace and healing and restoration and transformation that we need. Some people, sadly misled, want to get into heaven, but they don't have a clue who Jesus is, which, that's room for another sermon. But anyway, it's totally illogical. But our goal is to know Jesus and have him know us. He's reached out to us, so we reach out to him, and that is our ultimate goal. That is something worth committing our lives to and wrapping ourselves around. And at the end of the day, we'll get that gold medal, that crown. But it won't depend on our accomplishments. It's really all about what Jesus has already done for us. So we'll claim it, because we're citizens of heaven. We'll be able to show our passport that Jesus wrote out for us. Please admit Rick Hill, because he admitted he's a messed up sinner, and ask for forgiveness. Should probably put that on my office wall. That's how we get in. That's how we win the goal, win the race, and celebrate life and know what life is all about. Friends, if I can leave you with anything today, I want to encourage you to go for all that God has for you and press in and say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to experience you. I don't want just a theoretical, abstract, intellectual knowledge about you, but I want to know who you are. I had a great conversation with a health professional this week about finding God, and I told her, you know what? After a health incident in her life recently, we were comparing notes about health stuff. I said to her, she was kind of wondering how to put the pieces of life together, how to sort things out. And I said, you know, I don't want to pounce on you, because I'm not wearing a collar today, and I'm not on a commission or anything. I'm not trying to pounce on you. But respectfully, can I encourage you to say to God, God, if you're there, will you show me that you're real? That's a really powerful prayer to pray. Whether you say you follow Jesus or not, God, if you're there, will you show me that you're real? For some of us today, we might be thinking, well, I don't know about this know Jesus stuff. I'm not sure what that really means. I want to focus more. I want to really know who he is. I pray that God will give us a sense of a spiritual hunger that we all keep pressing in to really know Jesus and experience him so that he's real in our lives. So tangible, just like he's sitting right next to you right now. Let's pray. Father, we know there's really nothing else in life worth pursuing other than this goal of really knowing Jesus, of really experiencing him. Will you help us put aside all the other distractions and clutter in our lives that stop us from really knowing you? And Holy Spirit, only you can do this. But you are there, a creation. You made the world so you can break in our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would enlighten our minds, enlighten the eyes of our hearts so we can understand and experience who Jesus is, his love for us, his grace. We are looking forward to hearing stories of how you're going to answer this prayer. So we commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.